Come to us, I mean, it would be more easier to us to give the people from what we have. We have in the narrations that the requests of the people, the fact that people come to you for the requests is a blessing from God.
Right.
If you get, upset, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this blessing to other people, meaning that people are not going to come to you anymore. They will go to other people, and you would be deprived of this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
So people out there, if they are, wealthy, rich, or even some people are poor, but still they give in charity. That is why the narrations tell us that if people constantly come to you, you need to feel happy that, alhamdulillah, people are coming to me and this is a blessing. Now, the other topic mentioned in some of the narrations of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the concept of ikhlas, that is translated into sincerity. Again, in his narration addressing Sheikh al-Mufid, in the beginning part of this narration, Imam says, Salamun alayka ayyuhal mawla al-mukhlis fi al-deen. So he's sending salam to Sheikh al-Mufid. He calls him Mawla, a friend of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and then al-mukhlis fi al-deen, the one who has sincerity in the religion. This is the significance of this concept. Many people may do righteous actions, but just for showing off.
So those who are sincere, Imam is calling them the friend.
Exactly.
And that's a great blessing in itself again. Thank you so much for enlightening us again with that beautiful session.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Midstream.
Today, the Palestinian revival is the most prepared it has ever been. The Zionist regime will collapse with the support of the Palestinian people and the resistance forces in the region. This is what came in Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei's speech last week in a meeting with the guests of the Islamic Unity Conference. Lo and behold, a few days later, the world witnessed the epic Al-Aqsa flood operation. The land, sea, and air invasion of Israeli settlements in the Gaza Strip, the firing of more than 5,000 rockets towards the occupied territories, the failure of the Iron Dome, and the reported results so far, the capture of Israeli soldiers, the death of at least 700 Israeli occupation soldiers and settlers, and the injury of more than 2,100 others to the writing of this report. In short, it was a flood, the Al-Aqsa flood, Tufan Al-Aqsa. October 7, 2023 will be a day to remember as a surprise that the Zionist enemy leadership never imagined possible. It was a morning nightmare for the Israeli entity brought to light by the Palestinian resistance with thunder-loud actions and unified voices. A unity that the leader of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, spoke extensively about just 4 days prior to Al-Aqsa flood operation during the Islamic Unity Conference in Iran. If the countries of West Asia are united together, which international power will be able to arrogantly plunder and interfere in the domestic and foreign affairs of the countries? Asked Sayyid Khamenei. adding that if countries like Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and countries surrounding the Persian Gulf like Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan follow a unified policy in basic and public issues, then the coercive powers cannot interfere in internal affairs and foreign policies as they are interfering now. Powerful resonating words that were evident in every step taken by the resistance axis in West Asia and were loudly displayed during the recent Al-Aqsa flood operation, which was a culmination of the axis of resistance experience, steadfastness, and unity all put together to make sure the Palestinian resistance has within its hands the capabilities and the needed skills to astonish its friends and foes alike in a show of force and unity like no other in the history of the Arab-Israeli entity struggle since 1948. Welcome to a new era of resistance unity. I'm Marwa Osman. Of the Islamic Revolution, Sayyid Ali Khamenei said in his latest speech on October 3, 2023, "Today, U.S. strikes the countries of the region politically and economically, steals Syria's oil, protects and keeps the cruel, barbaric, and bloodthirsty Daesh in its camps so that it can be brought back to the field on the day of need, and interferes in the affairs of the countries. But if everyone is united, if Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and the Persian Gulf countries adopt a single policy in basic and general issues, the coercive powers cannot and do not dare to interfere in their internal affairs and foreign policy." We will be hosting today a number of activists and political commentators from the country Sayyid Ali Khamenei mentioned to discuss what unity means for the Arab and Islamic causes in West Asia. Beginning with our dear guest from California, Mr. Ali Al-Yami, Saudi activist and human rights advocate. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Al-Yami, especially at a very early hour of the day in California. Now, Mr. Al-Yami, what is your take on the calls issued by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, concerning uniting the positions and the stances on the West Asian countries in the face of what he called Western hegemony, especially with foreign policy issues?
Thank you for the invitation. The key word here is if. I wish that Arabs and Muslims are united around some principles, democratic principles, the human rights principles, equality for women and minorities.
Mr. Al-Yami, thank you very, very much. Mr. Ali Al-Yami from California, Saudi activist and human rights advocate, thank you very much for your time and your effort for being on our show now. We are now joined by Dr. Jamal Zahran, political science professor at the Port Said University and Egypt coordinator of the Global Gathering in Support of the Choice of Resistance from Cairo. It's a pleasure having you on with us, Mr. Zahran. Now, Sayyid Ali Khamenei mentioned in his speech that the United States is behind the Takfiri groups in West Asia wreaking havoc and stealing the region's resources like that, for example, in Syria and Iraq. Now, for you, as an Egyptian politician and even former member of parliament, how do you assess the role of the United States in messing with the security and economy of West Asian countries?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. في الحقيقة طبعا يعني ما تفضل به
In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. What Imam Khamenei said is completely correct. With regard to the necessity of describing the situation in the region and how to confront this American presence in Syria and Iraq and its influence in the Persian Gulf region and the Arab countries in general and the Middle East in a clearer and broader way. Saying that America is the initiator of terrorism in the region and the instigator of violence in the region is not wrong. Since its occupation of Iraq in 2003, the United States has continued as an occupation through huge military bases in Iraq and by exploiting the Syrian crisis, and even contributing to its fabrication, controlling oil sources, openly stealing oil and seizing agricultural lands for growing wheat. Consequently, the United States deprived Syria and its people of their resources, and thus contributed to the deliberate starvation of the Syrian people. This is an unforgivable crime, and there is no statute of limitations on it at all. This is a crime against humanity committed by the U.S. through the terrorist groups it created called Daesh. The name Daesh is essentially just a front to fragment the region from Syria to Iraq to Lebanon and Jordan and even to Saudi Arabia in the coming stage and other countries in the region. This is because all of these countries are targeted. Through this interview, we call for the necessity of unity of positions and pressure on the United States and the necessity of continuing resistance and attacking America's camps and private military bases there.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Jamal Zahran, political science professor at Port Said University and Egypt coordinator of the Global Gathering in Support of the Choice of Resistance, for joining us. And now we move on to our next guest from Latakia, the Syrian political commentator and journalist Sara Saloum. It's always a pleasure having you on board. Sara, now, as a Syrian citizen suffering from unilateral punitive measures imposed by the United States of America simply because your country chose the path of resistance, how do you read the call of unity made by His Eminence Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution?
I support what Imam Khamenei said, saying that the United States of America is stealing our Syrian oil and keeping the criminal and terrorist Daesh ready to use it when needed. The most prominent evidence of the validity of this is what happened last week when the graduation ceremony of officer cadets at the military college in the Homs countryside was targeted. These young men were going to engage in the project to combat terrorism, the project to combat the Zionist enemy, and the project to combat federalization and division. This is a message to me and to the Syrian youth aiming at emptying the country of us towards immigration. You know that a large number of young Syrians have immigrated abroad in search of a better living situation as a result of the poor economic conditions due to the unilateral sanctions imposed by the United States of America on my country. From here, I also proceed to the validity of what Imam Khamenei suggested about the fact that if the major countries such as Iran, Saudi Arabia, and other Arab countries had taken a single united policy towards the basic issues or general issues, we would be in much better conditions today in the region.
No, and thank you very much, Ms. Sara Saloum, from Latakia in Syria, political commentator and journalist, for joining us to discuss this issue. Now we move on to our next guest from Tehran, Ms. Sitera Sadiqi, political commentator and co-host of Twice Told Tales podcast. Thanks a million for being with us, Sitera. Now, as an Iranian citizen living under constant Western threats, constant sanctions, and on many occasions also targeted harassment against the Islamic Republic of Iran by the United States of America and the Zionist entity as well, how do you assess the calls of unity made by Sayyid Ali Khamenei against the policy of divide and conquer, if I may, that our enemies have been implementing in West Asia to keep us divided?
Divide and conquer has always been the policy of the hegemon of the empire to maintain their influence and interference in our region, to keep their hands on our resources, to loot our resources. So what the leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, is referring to is actually the key to coming out of the various problems and chaos that we have been experiencing over decades in this region. If the nations in the region put their differences aside, their disagreements aside, and come together and adopt the same policy towards issues that affect all the nations in the region, if we stop, or if some of these nations stop stabbing Palestine in the back by normalizing relations with the Zionist regime, then we will start to see more of peace and stability and progress and development in our region. The Sykes-Picot agreement was means to divide us, was means to maintain certain disagreements and discords among different ethnicities. The borders were designed by France and Britain at that time to to help Britain and France maintain their influence over this region. But we can overcome all these problems and issues by coming together, by getting united and understanding that no one from outside can solve our problems. It's only us and the nations of this region that can come together and overcome the problems and the issues that affect us all.
Definitely. Mr. Tara Sadiki, political commentator and co-host of Twice Told Tales podcast from Tehran, thanks a million for being with us. Now, ladies and gents, please stay tuned, because next we will be talking about how this unity was evident in the Battle of Al-Aqsa flood.
This is Midstream, and here is IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, in this weekly program, Marwa Osman discusses two important issues related to West Asia region with two political analysts. Midstream is with you every Friday on IRIB English Radio.
Now, Palestinian lions embraced jihad as a path of martyrdom and as a way of life for a nation, a people, and a homeland that was born again to the echo of battle and confrontations that brought down the dream of the so-called Greater Israel, with the fall of the Zionist army's deterrent power and killing normalization in its cradle. Now, Sayyid Ali Khamenei had always promised that Palestine will destroy the dream of the new American Middle East in the interest of liberating the nation and its peoples away from the colonialism of the West and its Zionist and reactionary tools. More details in the following report.
It was not an ordinary day, and it will not go unnoticed as a scene that neither the Israeli enemy nor the Zionist settlers are familiar with. October 7, 2023 was the day when the lions of the resistance emanated with their piercing roars, renewing the Battle of Bab Khaybar from the gate of the Gaza envelope, which they drew out of determination for victory. Thus, the Palestinian resistance charted a new victory that will represent a decisive turning point in the course of the confrontation with the Zionist enemy, which is fully aware of its danger. 4 days before the Great Al-Aqsa flood, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei stated during the Islamic Unity Conference in Iran that the Palestinian Renaissance today is more active than at any time during the past 70 or 80 years. The Palestinian youth today and the Palestinian Renaissance against injustice, usurpation, and Zionism are more active, energetic, and ready than at any time. And you can see that. This Renaissance will achieve results, inshallah. The leader of the Islamic Revolution was right. 4 days later, we all saw, rather, the entire world saw what the Palestinian resistance was capable of. Once again, the prestige of an army that was said to be invincible has now been completely shattered. It was unable to protect the herds of its settlers, and it fell into a new kind of confrontation in which truth confronts falsehood, where the owners of the land confront the tyrannical immigrants from all corners of the earth who came to build a homeland on the ruins of a displaced people with international complicity and regional official betrayal. Reactionary regimes and kings of apostasy came to the table of high treason to normalize relations with the Israeli entity and sell the Palestinian cause in the international slave market to protect the privileges of ruling families and dynasties that are the deposits of colonialism and its tools in the body of the nation. However, the nation awoke from its slumber after a long night of submission, shadowed by the darkness of betrayal that befell the regimes of the nation. The October sun rises, a resistance that inflames the heat of a struggling people who chose the gun as a way of life, wrote pages inked with the blood of martyrs who believed in their Lord and were loyal to their cause, not tempted by power or wealth. They did not wait for normalization that would perpetuate betrayal. So they embraced jihad as a path and martyrdom, as a way of life for a nation, a people, and a homeland that was born again.
Now, Now, to discuss this issue with us from Amman, Jordan, is Mr. Muwaffaq Mahadeen, political writer and commentator. It's a pleasure having you with us, Mr. Muwaffaq Mahadeen. Now, in your opinion, after witnessing the historic October 7, 2023 Al-Aqsa flood operation in the Gaza enclave, in your opinion, how can unifying the Arab position contribute to supporting the Palestinian cause, especially during these extraordinary times?
In the beginning, the birth of the Palestinian issue was in Arab and international forums, came with more Arab support than it was born through a purely Palestinian decision. We know that the Palestine Liberation Organization, headed by Ahmed al-Shuairi, was practically established with the support of President Jamal Abdel Nasser, who also secured recognition of the Palestinian entity in the Arab summits. It is difficult to talk about a unified Arab position on the Palestinian issue in view of the objective reality itself and in view of its political, social, and intellectual expressions, which are different expressions depending on the social nature and political relations of this regime or that. It is difficult to talk about a unified Arab position in light of the objective reality, which is a problematic reality. And it is difficult to ignore it or maybe just wait for better approaches in the near future. I believe that the Palestinians, of course, who assert their right to their entire land, have only one choice, which is to be part of the known axis of resistance.
Well, I want to thank you really very much, Mr. Muwaffaq Mahadeen, political writer and commentator, who joined us from Amman, Jordan, to discuss this very important issue. Now, joining us from Baghdad is Sheikh Dr. Yusuf Al-Nasiri, assistant to the Secretary General of the Al-Nujaba movement and Iraq's general coordinator of the Global Gathering in Support of the Choice of Resistance. It's a pleasure always having you with us, Sheikh Nasiri. Now, Iraq has been suffering the most over the past two decades from constant Western looting and destruction in ways that have rendered the Iraqi state basically incapable of securing the livelihoods of the Iraqi public. Do you think calls of unity like what we heard coming from the latest speech by Sayyid Ali Khamenei can find Arab ears maybe to listen to it and take the advice?
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious. And may the peace and blessings be upon the last of all the prophets and messengers, Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and grant him peace. From the scope of Imam Khamenei's last speech, in which he stated that our wealth is still coveted by invaders and enemies, and therefore it behooves us as a nation to have this great Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and selected as the most honorable of Allah's creation, so that he is the most honorable of his creation, and his nation is the best and most honorable of nations. This has several pillars. Among these pillars are independence, sovereignty, lack of fear towards others, unity, and the ability to use wealth. This is what the greatest prophet did when he united the nation after it had been fighting among family, tribe, clan, and peoples, and made of them a harmonious, united nation that leads the features of morals, science, and knowledge to the world. Today we are called upon once again to unite our ranks, align ourselves, invest our wealth, prevent our enemy from exploiting us, and to make this nation a nation that exudes the scent of science, knowledge, technology, and development. And here we are, and by Allah's blessings upon us, we have great leaders like Imam Khamenei, asking Allah, glory be to Allah, to inspire him and our revolutionaries and fighters in all parts of this Arab and Islamic world. For more struggle, unity and jihad, for more rationality and knowledge. God willing, we will see successive victories until they are linked to the owner of the Renaissance and the owner of justice and the divine promise, Imam Mahdi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty hasten his honorable appearance. Peace, mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Dr. Yusuf Al-Nasri, Assistant to the Secretary General of the Al-Nujaba Movement and Iraq's General Coordinator of the Global Gathering in Support of the Choice of Resistance, for your time with us, Mawlana. Now, finally, we are joined with Dr. Bilal Laqis, academic and political researcher from Beirut, Lebanon, to discuss the latest events and the call of unity in West Asia. Dr. Laqis, it's a pleasure for us to have you on board now. No doubt what we witnessed yesterday and the day before on the Gaza front was beyond what words could ever describe. But all in all, it truly was a flood, and I mean that. How do you see the Arab and Islamic joint position concerning the Palestinian resistance in light of the calls issued by His Eminence Sayyid Ali Khamenei to unite the fronts against Western hegemony, Western aggression, Zionist aggression and hegemony as well, especially in our region?
In the da'wah that
The call made by the Islamic Republic of Iran and the leader of the Islamic Revolution on the issue of unity between our countries and our societies appears, especially in these exceptional circumstances and stages in the history of the Arab and Islamic nation, to be an extremely realistic and extremely rational call that achieves all interests. This means that it is not only a moral call, despite the importance and necessity of moral discourse and our constant need for it, but also in many moments when we talk about issues of unity today. We do not talk about complete fusion, because then the idea of unity no longer has any meaning. Here we are talking about the required limit at this stage that achieves the interests of everyone and that prevents the ability of outsiders to influence the internal policies of our countries in a way that serves the interests of the outsiders. I believe that this geographical region, given its religious Arab affiliation and the intertwining of the issue of resistance with its geography, culture and structure, I believe that Imam Khamenei's call in this sense is a very realistic call and one that achieves the interests of each of these countries. From here, we see that the call to formulate a goal under the title of a contractual will to integrate among each other in order to create a minimum level of common interest is extremely important today, especially since we are living in exceptional circumstances and the world is going through transformations, and therefore it is not possible to confront the transformations of the world alone. This unity also adds great value, especially since today we are living one of the greatest and most beautiful days of our nation in its struggle against its Israeli enemy. It has become clear today that the nation, the resistance discourse, and the resistant people in our Arab and Islamic nation possesses the potential and capabilities. In this sense, I want to say that yes, what is happening today in Palestine is an indication that part of this resistance can achieve a big day for the nation and restore to it a large part of its identity, which was cracked, torn, and disintegrated at one stage. So this proposal that Imam Khamenei presents with insight, awareness, and understanding of the circumstance and a vision that expresses a stage of openness that we are living through. Hence, we must resolve our differences to continue moving on, because it is the urgent need today, and any other proposal that has to do with seeking help from the Israeli occupation entity and seeking help from the U.S. is a proposal that is out of time as well as out of place. And whoever follows this doctrine is wrong, and he is the one who will lose and pay a heavy price in all cases.
Well, I want to thank you very much for your contribution, Dr. Bilal Laqis, academic and political researcher from Beirut, Lebanon, for joining us and being the final crème de la crème, if I may, at the end of this show today, speaking about the unity calls made by His Eminence Sayyid Ali Khamenei for the West Asian countries to come together, especially in these extraordinary times. Ladies and gents, I want to thank you very much for being with us. I want to congratulate the Muslim Ummah, the Arab Ummah, the Palestinian, what can I say except heroes, for what they have presented for their cause and what kind of hope that they gave us against the Israeli entity and our fight against the Israeli entity. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you again next week, inshallah, for more updates from West Asia right here on the Mideast Stream.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked an
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, we're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. Stay tuned.
این انذارها، تهدیدها، هشدارهایی که این پدر و مادر به این بچه میدن.
Or the warnings of the parents for a child out of kindness or grudge. For sure, in most of the cases, they are out of kindness for the children. This case is exactly true about the warnings that are mentioned in the Holy Quran. Such warnings and chastisements in the Holy Quran are out of utmost kindness of Allah for His people. In other words, if the hell was not created, we would have not many people who go to paradise.
خدا رحمت کنه مرحوم آقای دولابی رضوان و درود خدا بر ایشان باد. می‌فرمودن که خدای متعال
The late Dulabi, the famous Iranian scholar, used to say that all the ayahs in the Holy Quran, which include a type of punishment or chastisement, are talking about the blessings and bounties of Allah. In other words, the hellfire and fire are the blessings of Allah. This case is apparently seen in Ayah 35 and 36 of Surah Ar-Rahman, stating, There will be unleashed upon you a flash of fire and a smoke. Then you will not be able to help one another. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye. Thank you.
the bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
Nearly all of the U.S. housing challenges are on display. Skyrocketing housing costs, chronic homelessness, too few homes to rent or buy. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Hill wrote in this regard, "Each night, Barbara and her four children cram together to sleep on the floor of her sister's living room. Barbara is not sure how long this arrangement can last. Her sister and husband have two kids of their own and are worried their landlord will hear about them packing nine people into their two-bedroom apartment. Kevin and Samantha and their infant daughter fitfully sleep in their compact car, with Kevin and Samantha taking turns washing the baby while the other one works a shift at a fast food restaurant. They arrive early so they can spend time in the restaurant bathroom trying to bathe themselves. After she was evicted, Melissa lived in a neighbor's garden shed. The neighbor charged her rent to do so. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development estimates at least 500,000 people are homeless each night. That estimate likely misses as many homeless people as it counts." For most of Americans, evidence of this crisis comes from seeing the industry struggles of people who are chronically homeless. But in their law school eviction clinic, they see firsthand what the data have shown for years. Most unhoused people, especially families and children, are living like Barbara, Kevin, Samantha, and Melissa. They and most of their clients endure homelessness for one simple reason. They cannot afford the rent. They're not alone. A newly released comprehensive study of the homeless population of California by UC San Francisco researchers, the largest such sampling in the past 30 years, found that homeless persons' median income the month before they became unhoused was only $960. With income that low, it can quickly become impossible to afford market rate rent. Research from the U.S. Government Accounting Office shows that for every $100 in average rent increases in the United States, there is a 9% spike in homelessness. Clients and the millions of others in the United States of America lined up in eviction courts across the U.S. can attest to the truth of that fact. Meanwhile, Truthout noted the vast majority of economists, pundits, and politicians agree that there aren't enough homes in the United States. The most conservative estimates put the number of needed homes at around 1.7 million units, with the most liberal estimates calculating it as high as 7.3 million. The reasons for this huge discrepancy resulting from variations in counting potential home buyers, as well as the type and location of housing units needed, are important. But ultimately, most entities assessing the national housing situation settle on a number between 4 and 5 million. From here, we tell ourselves a simple story about housing, namely that the United States has a housing shortage, so they need to build more homes. This sounds nice, easy even. All they need to do is incentivize the builders of homes, the real estate industry, to build more. But that's where things unravel, because the reason Americans don't have enough homes is a direct consequence of the real estate industry's influence over what kinds of housing have been allowed in the United States. A direct consequence of treating housing as nothing more than a commodity to be built, bought, and sold for profit. U.S. real estate agents and developers are some of the loudest critics of regulations like mandatory setbacks, minimum lot sizes, and zoning codes excluding multinational properties. This is a relatively recent development resulting from the fact that the industry has run out of cheap, easy places to build. The truth is that the real estate industry in the United States is protesting the world that it built and has fought to maintain for more than a century. The price of housing in the United States has continued to increase. Officials throughout the real estate industry have explained this by villainizing existing homeowners and local government officials who are saying no to changing the building and zoning codes. But the reason they have this power in the first place is because the real estate industry championed these rules to raise the price of housing. The industry has done such a good job of this that housing has become out of reach for an increasing number of renters and prospective buyers. As more and more millennials and Generation Zers reach prime home buying age without any real prospect of ever owning a home, the threat of a market crash grows. Also, according to CBS News, more than 400,000 American people were homeless last year, a record high, according to National Alliance to End Homelessness. ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyah. We have been discussing the 8th supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on the dua of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam when seeking refuge from evil traits and blameworthy actions. We are still discussing the first verse of this beautiful supplication, and that is when Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam starts seeking refuge of Allah from evil traits. And in our previous session, we mentioned an outline of how the traits are formed in the human soul. What is the phenomena of the formation of the evil traits in the soul in general?
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana. Rabbana.
A very important point that we would like to also point out to is that here, notice that, you know, when it comes to changing the traits of a person, usually the human being sees himself as an independent person in doing so. For example, he will try his best to avoid anger, he will try his best to avoid greed, he will try his best to avoid the evil things that he knows that these are evil things and they are not good, especially those things that it has not come in the form of traits in himself. It is still in the state of hal and state, as we mentioned earlier. And sometimes, no, he has formed a habit in himself, but he doesn't like that habit. That means that it is not united with him, because he does not like that habit that he has formed. For example, he is niggardly, he doesn't like giving charity. Or for example, he doesn't like to, you know, respect others. All these beautiful characteristics that he should have, he does not have, for example. And he has evil traits, so he wants to change. So he struggles. He struggles by thinking, what should he do? By looking at what the ulama have said, how to go about it when you want to, you know, monitor yourself and change and transform yourself, all right? So he struggles his best. This is one way of looking at the whole situation. But then a monotheist, a person who knows that any change that happens in anybody, it is only by Allah's permission, and it is only by Allah's tawfiq and the success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows to this person. Never will a person be able to purify himself. However much he starts, you know, struggling, the reason is that if Allah does not want, nothing can happen. So this should be there in his mind, that, all right, we have to struggle. That is the path that we should struggle. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That the human being will not have save what he struggles for. But then, this struggle itself also cannot transpire without Allah's assistance, without Allah's help. And if he puts it in his mind that, you know, everything is controlled by Allah, that even, you know, going towards good and refraining from bad is also Allah's bestowal, then he will always ask Allah. And that is when he says, Inni a'udhu bika. When Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam starts saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min hayajanil hirs, he's actually telling us indirectly that, you know, I believe that even when I want to leave these evil traits, I cannot do so without Allah's help. And this is what is known as, you know, seeking refuge in a monotheistic way, not in a way whereby a person thinks that, okay, I'm seeking refuge, but, you know, I can also work hard and I can also get that position of, you know, being away from these evil traits. No, we cannot, in fact, there is a very beautiful statement that we now and again are taught to recite, and sometimes we also recite partly in prayer. We say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. This is that monotheistic expression that we should have, that there is no state, La hawla wa la quwwata, nor is there any power, illa billah, save by Allah's power and, you know, through Allah's strength. I don't have anything of my own. When a person understands this and prays, it makes a great difference. And that is when he sees that there is a change in him. And this is how we have to supplicate. So this is one of the noteworthy points that we should understand while we say, Allahumma inni a'udhubika.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, a very important thing also is to know what this is all about, the evil traits that Imam starts enumerating and starts seeking refuge of Allah from them. The first thing that he mentions is Hayajanul Hirs. What is Hayajanul Hirs? Hayajan, the word Hayajan, the root word Hayajan, Ha, Ye, and Jim. If you look at authoritative lexicographers, they talk of what is, it is known as Thawran. Thawran means, you know, something that is stirred up, it is aroused, it is evoked, it is provoked. These are the things that we can say when it comes to Hayajan, Hayajanul Hirs. That Hirs, and Hirs is, you know, Alaqa Shadida, or something that you desire extremely. And we call it greed, for example. Especially when we talk of Hirs, we talk of, you know, greed with regard to the things of the world. That is what is reprimanded and it is blameworthy. Otherwise, if you look at the word hirs, it is also used for positive things. You know, like for example, if a person has extreme desire for the good of another, so that is a positive thing. Inshallah, we will look at this phrase in detail and also look at it from the Quranic point of view also, so that we understand it properly. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
سجاد. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.